I want to take just a few minutes to return to one word from this morning's text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then we're going to move on to pray together in our new place of worship. And we really want to take some time tonight and pray in that place of worship for a couple of reasons. To remind ourselves that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Isn't it good every once in a while to stop and remind ourselves that our work is spiritual work and that all we do is vain apart from the blessing and the power of the Lord God in the life of our church. We also, we want to be mindful that the Lord Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I want us to take some time tonight and pray in that place of worship. And later on when it's finished, the first thing we'll do together in a formal way is have a time of prayer in that place of worship. And that's important. Now that doesn't mean, you know, you don't have to have an expression on your face that looks like indigestion when you're praying. We can have fun and walk around and enjoy and look and even visit with one another. But we also do want to have a time of prayer as we're going through this place. And Ray and Matt are going to help us with this. Well, this morning we came to a text in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 that deals specifically with sexual purity, but it deals broadly with sanctification. In fact, the Apostle Paul only uses the word sanctification 8 times in all of the New Testament. And 3 of those 8 times are right here in the paragraph that we read this morning. Paul uses sanctification, sanctification, sanctification. Now that's a word that's kind of loaded. You know, when you look up sanctification in the dictionary, you find it right next to sanctimonious, right? And to a lot of people, it carries a kind of a sense of a hypocritical show of piety. Kind of, you know, what does sanctification mean? It's important that we have a solid Bible understanding of this word. And so really, before we leave this text and move on, I want to take just about 5 or 6 minutes tonight and clarify with you what the word sanctification means in the New Testament. It's interesting that in the New Testament material, the word sanctification or sanctified is used in both past and present and future tense. There are times when the Bible speaks to us saying that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have been sanctified. It's a done deal. There are other times when the Bible uses a present tense. We are being sanctified. It's a process. And sometimes the Bible looks to the future and declares the hope that one day we will be sanctified. We've been seeing that in the benediction. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how that looks to the future. And so one of the reasons why we find in the New Testament this idea of sanctification as a past established reality, a present progress, and a future hope is because it's connected, remember, to the idea of being holy. To be sanctified is to be holy. And the Bible uses the word holy in both an objective and a subjective way. In other words, sometimes the Bible uses the word holy to declare the reality that you are a holy person because of your relationship with God. Because you belong to Him, you are holy. That's a reality. But there are other times where the Bible uses the idea of holiness in a more subjective, experiential sense. You are holy because you are more and more behaving like God. Your character is like God's character. So you are holy and you are being made holy. You're becoming holy. It's objective because it's a reality that's connected to the fact of our relationship with God. But it's also something that we're developing as we're conformed to the image of Christ. When the Bible talks about Christians being sanctified, the Bible always emphasizes these two aspects of the work. First of all, sanctification is the work of God's Spirit within us. It's not something that we take pride in. It's not the result of our superior discipline or extra effort. It's not something we get puffed up about. But it's a work of God's Holy Spirit within us. Remember verse 8 this morning made that emphasis. And second, sanctification is the will of God for every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a certain select group of Christians, some special super saints that are set apart as sanctified. But every one of us called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is called to be holy. It's called to live a life of sanctification. Now, having said that, I want to just look at one verse in the text from this morning. It's very important. And I want to return to verse 7. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. This one sentence helps us explore the depth and the breadth of the meaning of the word sanctification. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Now, if you read out of some other English translations, you might notice some differences at this point. Because most English translations try to balance this sentence. Like the King James reads, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And that's a beautiful sentence. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You see a balance there? Or the New International Version reads, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." And there's a balance. The issue is, the New American Standard that I read out of is working hard to translate the fact that this sentence is not balanced. There's a change in prepositions. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity. There's a little preposition there, epi. For the purpose of. God's called us, and His purpose, our destination, is not impurity. But He's called us, and the preposition changes to a little en, in. He's called us in the context of sanctification. And the grammar here is very important because it shows the depth and the breadth of the idea of sanctification. Paul's not willing to craft a simple, balanced sentence. Because it's not that simple in Paul's mind. So Paul says, listen, it's not like this. God calls you and you have one of two destinations. He calls you and you can take the path of impurity or you can take a path of holiness. That's not what this sentence says. Paul says, God's called you. Not for the purpose of impurity. But He has called you from beginning to end. He's called you in sanctification. And so the picture that Paul's painting is not one of Jesus standing over here at the finish line up in heaven saying, I'm calling you. You get up and come to me and be holy, be sanctified. The picture, God calls you in sanctification. In the context of sanctification, the picture Paul's painting is that God comes to us when He calls us. He wraps a robe of holiness, sanctification around our shoulders. And he walks with us all the while until he takes us to his desired end. His call from beginning to end is a call that comes to us in sanctification. Past, present, future, he is making us his holy people. He has, he is, he will. And it reminds us of the first and clearest example of how Christ calls people in Mark chapter 1. Remember Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes to those fishermen in Galilee. And in verse 17, he says, follow me. That's the call, isn't it? Remember what he says? He says, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's the call. Jesus says, I'm going to call you to be who I want you to be, and I'm going to make you to be who I've called you to be. I'll call you, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And this is just the same thing Paul is saying here. God has not called us for the purpose of impurity. But the whole context of his call, beginning, middle, and end, sanctification. That's good news. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me pray with us and we'll move on with our service. Father, we thank you for the beauty and the truth, the depth and the breadth of your word. And we confess that in some ways we'll never fully grasp all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, the joy and the promise, the hope of sanctification is good news to us. It sounds sweet in our ears. We confess that we have no hope in and of ourselves of ever being a holy people. We also do confess and declare in Christ Jesus that you have made us holy, that you are making us holy. Praise God that one day you will make us holy in Christ Jesus, so we stand in you complete. Let's continue for a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We want to give you an opportunity this evening to make a public response. If some came here tonight prepared to do that, maybe join our church or receive Christ as Savior. Maybe you'd like to come forward for a time of prayer and commitment here. We're going to sing a song to give you that opportunity, and then we'll move on with our time of prayer. Let's stand together and sing, and as we do, you come.